If you're an education leader or a visionary for improving our school mental health system, then you are definitely in the right place. I'm your host, Charlie Peck, keynote speaker and school mental health consultant. Make sure you download our free school mental health audit at thrivingeducator.org/audit. And that way you can bring it back to your mental health team and assess your current system with them. That's thrivingeducator.org/audit. All right, let's get started. Hi, this is Charlie Peck from the Thriving Educator Podcast. We have Dr. Neil Gupta today, and oh my goodness, we are going to talk about a lot, but I like systemic issues that you're going to be able to address. But you said something that captured me, Neil. You said involving students in the process is how we're going to create change. I'm paraphrasing, but let's first introduce and say hi.
Yes. Hi, I'm glad to be here. My name is Neil Gupta. I'm in my first year as a superintendent in Oakwood Schools. It's a suburb of Dayton, Ohio.
Right. And I'm in Northern Kentucky near Cincinnati, Ohio. So Dayton's not too far, and I'm glad you're doing this work, right? Yes. Yes. So here's what we need to know from you. This is what after all the work you do, I mean, you're a national speaker too, of course, superintendent, but you are a self-proclaimed to design thinker, which I love about you. So talk about how we design systems in our education system, specifically about improving school mental health. It's a big question.
So, I mean, and that's the perfect thing. And it sounds like I'm making this up because of the topic of mental health, but design thinking starts with empathy. So even if we were talking about, Neil, how would you tackle building a new facility? How would you tackle adding a new sport, hiring a new staff member? I don't know, thinking about the lunch menu, but it all comes to empathy. And so this idea about mental health really begins with making sure that we first and foremost truly try to put our and what does empathy mean? It means like putting our self into the shoes of the students and kind of experiencing how they go about the day. And so some of it is actually physically putting us in the shoes. And we could talk a little bit about that later, what I mean by that. And some of it is really like getting the aspect of talking with our students and really gauging feedback from them. And I'll just throw this out there. And it's not just high school students. Like let's not be so naive to think that students, even at the, early grade levels can't talk about how they feel and how they wish their schools would better help equip them and support them in their mental health.
Wow. Well, clearly that's why you're in leadership, because that view is essential if we're going to make any kind of cultural shift. And so, and I told you this before we started recording that anybody I mention you to, they're like, wow, what a great guy. And I know it's sometimes hard to hear that, but it's true because you start with empathy and it shows, right? So tell me, well, like, what does that look like? Like, what do you need other people to start doing that you're doing that truly does make that impact?
Yeah. So I think it really is leaning in and blocking time on your calendar to actually connect with students. And I'm talking about really connecting with students and really getting to know them. So, I attend as many, sporting events or activities as possible. And by the way, academic events, there is at the elementary level, there is something called Destination Imagination here at the elementary level. I wanted to get to understand it better. You can look at the website, you can talk to the coach, you can do all that kind of stuff, but I wanted to understand it. So I reached out to one of the coaches and asked, can I visit and just observe and watch and understand better? And she said, that's fine. Just understand that we meet in my basement, if that's okay. And so going to wherever you need to go to put yourself in that position to kind of see where students are. Students are sometimes like deer, out in nature. You can't just kind of say, well, gosh, I do that. I walk into classrooms or I walk through the cafeteria. I'm in classrooms all the time. You actually, it's just like nature. You have to kind of sit in their space for a while. And after you're quiet and you're building that trust and that open relationship, then all of a sudden they kind of seem to come out of the woodwork and they're talking and real conversations begin to happen. And being in that vulnerable point of asking the questions of how can we help make your school better? And what do you need to do to be able to thrive and be able to, be in a place where you feel, I use the phrase self, welcome and invited into our spaces.
Ooh, that's good. And I'm curious about teachers and school leaders. How do they respond when you actually insert yourself into their space?
Yeah, I think it has come very warm received here. I think that there's a combination of just, you know, informally walking in and connecting with students and not trying to distract or disrupt the classroom environment sort of thing, but truly making a connection to the point where I think that, like, you know, when that approachability starts to happen, then all of a sudden I get these emails of, will you come to my classroom? Cause you can see this cool thing that's happening. And then, you know, be able to kind of breathe life into it by, you know, a follow-up email or a card, or I sometimes write a blog about something that cool that I saw that I want to kind of share with the world. And again, it's this idea of, I notice you, I see you, and I'm really, you know, able to help support you in your journey.
That is great. And I'm wondering too, now then, how do principals and school leaders, even district leaders, how do they actually better utilize you?
Yeah, I don't, I had a great question. I don't even know, you know, where to go from there. You know, I think that, like, you know, we look at the idea of, you know, in a superintendent role now, it's about approving programs. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, people approach me in a formal sense of, I think here's a need that we have. And then, you know, how do we go about that? From a design thinking standpoint or design thinking approach, I have to realize, like, how are we strategic? We, you know, like, there's lots of emails that come through that say, here's, you know, the thing that the solution to your problem sort of thing. And so, you know, not to say that those things don't work, but it's got to fit our culture and our community and the right timing and who's going to champion it and who's going to champion it, like, for the long haul. Like, sometimes things don't fail because of the actual thing. It's because of the implementation or the sustainability or, you know, other things to it. So asking a lot of those critical questions about, you know, how are we going to onboard? How are we going to support? How are we going to champion? How are we going to sustain, continue to kind of be in a place where I want to ask those questions. And then I want to come around and rally around it and uplift it and make sure it's something that has benefit to it. I think sometimes it's also just making it public that, you know, our students are in a place of crisis at times and that our students need different supports. And what does that look like? And again, noticing those things and saying, you know, taking away that stigma that there's something wrong and you can't say it, you know, because then it means that there's a problem versus, you know what, if we talk about the idea about our students being healthy and our students being academically challenged, well, then we've got to think about the whole child and we've got to make sure that they're able to feel safe while they're at school.
Well, clearly you have background knowledge and not everybody has that, Neil. And so when you're thinking about the whole child and even some of the language you're using, I can tell you just are informed and some people are not. So let's talk about, you said something here too about the programs that the implementation, maybe why there's a failure there. And I think SEL is one of those programs that is wildly misunderstood or not implemented in the way it's intended to. And so it's got a bad rep sometimes. And so I'm thinking from your perspective, where do you think the downfall with SEL has been? And maybe that's not even the language you use, but what do you think we need to do differently moving forward?
I think we just have to make sure we define our terminology. Like, I think what we did accidentally, I don't think any of us did this on purpose, but we gave an acronym to it, you know, and all of a sudden the acronyms start to kind of mean different things to different people. And when you come back and talk about the idea about, you know, people might say, you know, and misconstrue what SEL stands for and what it means and what's being trying to be taught during that time, versus really talking about the idea about, you know, student health and well-being. We have in Oakwood, we have a SEL word of the month. And, you know, our words of the month are for this year are things like positivity and perseverance. And, you know, some of those words that if you cover the title and just listed those 12 words or 10 words over the course of the year, it's character word of the month, you know, sort of thing. So some of it is just kind of like making sure that we bring clarity to exactly what does that look like and what does that mean to our community and to our students?
That is great. Yeah. Because that clarity, it can mean the difference between somebody handling or mishandling crisis or a student or creating connection or disconnection in their building. Right. So, okay. So what is the number one thing that you think we need to do from a design perspective to implement better programming for improving mental health in our schools?
Yeah. So now first and foremost, talk to our students, talk to our staff, you know, and talk to our families. Like, it's not about, and again, it's not about sitting in an office and saying, this is what I think that they need, or I read this book and I think this is what has to happen. I think that there has to be, and I think, you know, you're going to enjoy me saying this, there has to be an audit or an evaluation, a self-audit or evaluation that's done that says, What do we specifically need? Like, I can't say, oh my gosh, like I just copy pasted what happened in my previous district, or I'm going to copy paste what happens in the neighboring district. Might even be different cultures and needs and supports that happen at two different elementary schools. You know, I definitely want consistency across the board for a systemic part, but it might be that this needs a little bit more than this, depending on, again, you know, what helps and makes sense for our students.
And then what other messages do you usually give leaders? Like, what do you want them to start thinking about?
Yeah, do you have a plan? I think the most one is do you have a plan? Can you articulate a plan? How much are you involved in that as you know, I'll say a district leader or a district administrator, that it's not just kind of like, you know, that's the job responsibility of our counselors, or that's the job responsibility of, and then it's some kind of delegated work. This is the job, you know, this is the job that we do. And so I, you know, talk about this idea, our focus areas this year at Oakwood Schools is high student achievement. So I want our students to, you know, be academically progressing and achieving at high levels. The second one is safe school environment. And I think, and I talk about that being the physical safety of our students, but again, that health and well-being of our students in safe school environment. And the third is efficient and effective operations, the idea of our facilities and our finance and our communications. But what I'm saying is as the district leader, I have to be well-versed on what's happening in all three areas. And notice that I didn't list 50 areas and say, these are 50 right. priorities. There are three priorities, and this is a major one.
I love that. Could you can't have clarity if you're trying to do 50 different things.
Correct.
Right. One of the things we hear a lot about in the work that we're doing when we work with teachers and support staff is that they feel ill-equipped to respond effectively to student mental health needs, but yet they want to be equipped. So how do you address a problem like that?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, this idea of ongoing professional development, I think the other thing is, and again, we're always watchful of, is there's no silver bullet. So that means there's no one and done. Like, you can't say we're going to do an after school staff meeting and we're going to check the box, and then all of a sudden, like, I gave a 2-hour training and you're all now equipped, sort of thing. Right. That doesn't happen. Yes. And I don't know if there's ever going to be a number of hours. There's never going to be enough. Our students are shifting, and as far as what they're being exposed to and the needs that they have. And when I think about social media and, you know, the things that are happening with this generation, but that's okay. Like, it's this idea of keep it on the forefront. Don't put it on that back burner and think like, oh man, we did that, we're done, we can move on to something else. But what's your longevity plan for that versus, you know, just kind of like these random kind of things that you're kind of, you know, flavor of the month sorts of things that come to it. It can't be done that way.
Right. And so we have to build autonomy into that then. So what's great is, there's train the trainer models and all of that, but it's too big. Like, people don't have time and energy, sometimes funding, to have the train the trainer model. And then you're not really reaching everybody. So what I'm wondering, because I know, again, you're a design thinker, how do you build autonomy within individual schools so that mental health can be improved even when teachers are not therapists and never need to be?
Yeah. I don't know if I have the answer to that. I guess the way that I think of it is almost like, you know, and when we think about our, you know, the tiers of MTSS or the tiers of, you know, it's this idea of, I don't need teachers. I don't need you to be like the tier, like at that top level. I don't need you to be like, you know, again, you didn't go to school for those things. We've got, you know, counselors and mental health specialists and others in the district that are well-versed in that. I just need you to feel a little more comfortable today than you did yesterday. I mean, we have to give permission. Everybody comes from different angles of, number one, their expertise. And then the second is their comfort level, right? Like, there are some that will sit there and say, I'm not good at helping support kids, and they're amazing at it. But again, you have to help them to understand it's okay. Like, it's okay. So I don't need you to be great. I just need you to be better than you did yesterday. And we're going to keep moving you along kind of in that path sort of thing. Being able to talk with your peers, being able to go to people in your building that you know, or at the district level that you know can help support you in that journey. And when you feel like it might be too much, like a student issue that's happening, that you can always go to and know that, you know, where you can go to, that you're not there to solve everything. We're not asking you to do that.
Yeah, that's a big ask otherwise, right? And I want you to picture that you have a system or a school that truly is thriving, in which there's the burden is shared by everybody. And so the social workers, the school counselors are positioned there to do the work they're supposed to do. And teachers are keeping their kids in the classroom and not having to send them because they do have the skills to create that secure learning environment. How far away are we from that?
I don't even know if necessarily that's, I'm going to say this, like that's ever going to happen. I think it's, like I said, I think it's okay that like, you know, students might need, you know, extra supports at different times and be able to do that. I guess more of mine would be, so I don't know if it's the idea of we've got the system that's ready sort of thing. You know, I guess I keep coming back to, we just keep moving in that improvement, you know, part right there. You know, some people will say, for example, you know, we need to have, again, more mental health counselors and again, thinking that, you know, it's all about people. And to a certain extent, I can point back and say, gosh, look, over the past 5 years, I'll at least say in my previous district, for sure, the number of personnel that have been added, or even in this district, the number of personnel that have been added to help support that. At the same time, I don't know if that, what, like people say, well, we need more. Well, sure, of course, I'd want more. I don't know if we'll ever have enough. Like, I don't know what enough looks like. Right. And so I think the same thing comes from the idea of how much, you know, we'll be in a place where teachers are equipped, and teachers, like, will they ever get there? I don't know. Like, I just know that we got to keep helping to support that over long.
Yeah, that is a fair answer. It really is a fair answer. And it's a hard question. So thanks
very
for
hard. Very hard.
For answering it. Yeah. I've asked you a lot of hard questions.
Well, I think it's, I guess I just want to make sure that, again, and I keep saying that our teachers don't feel like that they've arrived. I don't know if there's an arrived part, but I also don't know if they're, so I don't think that they have to feel this inadequate. I mean, I hope that they feel like, I hope whoever's listening goes, oh my gosh, I feel this breath come in that, like, you know, because I keep thinking I have to get there. Well, there's no there. Just, you know, be in a place of like, keep caring for kids, keep adding some more, you know, tools to the tool belt to be thinking about noticing, checking in on kids, following up with students, creating systems to kind of wrap around, you know, being able to just say, hey, look, I don't have enough now. So let's wrap around, you know, and when the time comes, those are the things that they need to be able to do.
Leaning on people, understanding limitations, it sounds like. You used a word that I love in notice. Why did you use that word, noticing?
Yeah, because I think, you know, I go to this aspect of, and some of the things I talk about is when we are stressed ourselves. So we talk about the idea about where our staff is and how they feel. I mean, it's neurological. It's how our brains work, right? When we're stressed, it's like when we're driving and we don't know where we're going, we turn on the music, right? When we don't know where we're going, which music has nothing to do with that, but that's our brain trying to kind of come in. Well, what tends to happen is our eyes do the same thing. We start to kind of, you know, when we're experiencing our own stress, or we're so directed, focused on this tough curriculum that's happening, or me personally, I need to go talk to the specific person in the building. So I'm like, and I'm late for a meeting, and I'm running through the hallway because I'm so focused. I'm going to miss my eye. I'm doing this because my eyes tend to just kind of start to kind of focus in on, and I miss all the stuff that's happening on the periphery. I start to miss that. There's a student with trauma over here. There's a student that's feeling isolated over here. And I've got to be in a place of just noticing first that, gosh, I have probably the most relationship with the student because I see him or her every day and they seem off. And I'm going to actually, like, in the right context, at the right moment, in the right situation, go up and just check in on the students. And I'm going to say, hey, you look a little off right now. Is there something going on? How's everything going? I know that for me, you know, I had students back when I was a math teacher say, you know, kept telling me about grandpa and that he wasn't doing well. And then she was absent for a couple of days. And then she came back and I came back and I said, how's grandpa? And she just starts crying. And she's just like, I knew you'd know. I knew you're one of all my teachers that would have known. Oh. And so, like, being able to lean in on, like, just who our students are and kind of, you know, their day-to-day of what's happening.
And thank you for that, because you're giving people permission right now to say that to their leaders and their teachers who need that, which then trickles down to the kids. It always does. It always does. And so I've asked you the hard questions. I'm going to land on an easy one. All right. You're a national speaker. Of course, we talked about you being a superintendent, a design thinker. How can people reach out to you so that they can actually pull from your wisdom?
Sure. Yeah. You can find me on X at Dr. Neil Gupta. I also have a website that I write some blogs on, and it's farthertogether.org. And where that comes from, farther together, there's an African proverb that is appropriate, I think, for this conversation. Mm-hmm. African proverb says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And so it's this idea of it's all about relationships. It's really about relationships. I'll be honest with you. Don't miss students at the risk of kind of like, I got to get the curriculum done. I've got to get the curriculum done. I've got to, you know what, if you've got to be able to put the curriculum on hold for a little bit so you can check in on your students and, you know, build some factors, that's a great investment of time.
Wow. And it shows it time and time again. So thank you for reiterating that. It's important.
Great. Thank you.
And thank you so much for being here. I appreciate too. And so do the listeners. So thanks for your time.
Right. I had a great time and I loved the tough questions. It was a great chance for me to get to know you better too.
Great. Well, I like to ask them. So that's how we change. Yeah. Thanks. Did you get your school mental health audit yet? You can go and get it at thrivingeducator.org/audit. And if you're working on mental health PD planning right now, you can check out all the ways we can support you while you're on our website right there. And it's under professional development. So just go check that out. And listen, if you found today's episode valuable, please share it in your network so you can benefit others. And if you could give it a rating and a review, that would really help us get the word out. Thank you so much for listening.